back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable first lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord. Good morning, May.
Good morning, and here's that lovable Jim Kendrick, too.
Thank you, mate.
Good morning, Jim. It's good to see Jim again. And how are you, friends? I'm not quite as frisky as usual because that awful inner ear dizziness has come back on me after being gone for over a year, and the doctor said he thought I had it whipped. But you never can tell. However, while bad in its way, it's nothing like so bad as I had for 5 or 6 years, and I think it'll go away. I just get suddenly desperately dizzy, just at any time and anywhere. 5 times yesterday I had it during the day, and the house seems to suddenly fall in on me besides someone knocking me in the head. And I have to sit down or lie down or fall down. But it only lasts about 3 or 4 minutes, maybe less, and it's gone. But the dear Lord is certainly being good to me in this new phase that it's so soon gone. My brother had it just this very way for 4 years and attended to a huge business all the time, but it was a terrible life. He was finally cured by a big doctor from San Francisco, but no doctor I've ever seen seems to have the faintest idea how he did it. Some sort of injections it was. You know, the doctors admit that they know practically nothing about this inner ear ailment and likely never will, they say. I'm sure it'll pursue me at intervals of a year or two so long as I live, but it'll never kill me if it's never killed anyone. I'm pretty depressed about the thing right now, and I'm sure it'll leave me before too long. It was preceded by 2 weeks of hard roaring in my left ear, it always is, and I simply knew something was going to happen to me. Well, now, the reason I'm telling you that is because so many of my listeners have this ailment, known medically as M-E-N-I-E-R-E, Meniere's disease. Sounds like mine ear, but it isn't. It's Meniere. The name is Meniere, and it's named for the French doctor who discovered and diagnosed it first 100 years ago. As I said, there's no cure for it so far, but it almost always quits of its own accord after some years. That's its history. And you never have it only in one ear, and you always go deaf in that ear eventually, which I am doing very rapidly. So many, many have written to me about it since I had it first that I used to have to spend all my time answering them. They call me from long distance and short distance. So many have it now, and the statistics say that 50 years ago, only one person in 40,000 ever had it. It's very hereditary, very hereditary. Well, thanks again for the fine lot of trading stamps. You know, I have appreciated women since this stamp hunt and their generosity and their loving hearts toward children as I never appreciated women before. This has been an experience to me. The Women's American Legion Auxiliary Post at Sheldon, Missouri, pooled their stamps and sent me a whole shower of books in a little box. That was wonderful. And the WPFA, that's the Women's Progressive Farm Association, you know, down at South Greenfield, Missouri, put their personal stamps in and sent them, and books of stamps and all. And that's the way women do things when they set their heads. And a woman in Kansas City sent me stamps. Now, way up there, Kansas City, there are certain parts of Kansas City that my program is heard. That's funny, because now and then I get letters from certain people in certain parts of the city. Others, they can't hear it at all. But anyway, the fact that they hear it at all in Kansas City speaks well for the power of station KWTO. Now, here are some of the towns I've received stamps from for the bus for the retarded children at Marshall. I will name as many as I can recall now, so you know I've received your stamps. I've received them all, I'm sure. There are, besides those I have just mentioned in Missouri, Billings, from Hayden, Bradleyville, Ashgrove, Wentworth, Monette, Rockville, Branson, Forsyth, Republic, Aurora, Buffalo, Marshfield, Stockton, Lebanon, Dadeville, Licking, Phillipsburg, Wheaton, and from Springfield. I haven't the list right by me now, and I can't recall some of the places, but there are some more. And then just worlds of towns in Arkansas women have sent me stamps from. And 4 towns in Kansas. Now, that was wonderful, too. And this week, the boys and girls of the teenage class of the Buck Prairie Baptist Church near Marionville, Missouri, sent me their combined stamps. I wrote a card and I said, tell the kids that it was bread cast on the water and the promise is that it will someday return to them. Yes, sir. That's what the Bible tells us. And maybe with jelly on it. Who knows? Well, you remember my asking what a Stoughton bottle is last Saturday. You know, it's wonderful to know these old things and to find them, get a hold of them. I had a nice letter this week from my friends, Mr. and Ms. W.H. Siegsmund at Rockville, Missouri. And Mr. Siegsmund told me. That's great news because nobody could find it that I asked or the lady who wrote me. You know, they used to say, well, there he sits just like a Stoughton bottle. He said that this was told to him by old authorities. A good many years ago, there was a medicine put up in a bottle that was shaped like a soldier. You know, in the old days, they often manufactured unique and wonderful bottles. For instance, I'll just stop here to tell you that they made a carination bottle. Those bottles are very rare now. I had one. I gave it to Editor Olds before he died, and I don't know who inherited it. It was a rare bottle. And they put whiskey up. A certain whiskey firm put whiskey up in these carination bottles. Well, there was 350,000 women on petitions went in to get them to stop it. And so it was done for a slam, of course. The bottle was carination with her hatchet and everything. And so this whiskey firm concluded that it was going to backfire on them, and so they quit making those carination bottles and putting whiskey in them. I wish we had three or four carinations now. They'd settle stuff. They'd settle things. Well, anyway, this soldier bottle, Mr. Siegsman said, stood straight and stiff. The doctor who manufactured it was named Stoughton, S-T-O-L-G-H-T-O-N. Stoughton. And the bottle just stood like a soldier there. So the saying came up and was all over the country that if a person was not inclined to talk or communicate, or if a kid didn't do a chore when you tell him, he just stood there like a Stoughton bottle and said nothing. But they called it Stoughton, leaving out the L. I guess so much quicker and easier to say. Well, I've heard it many a time. Mother Barnes out south of Galena, she used to say when the kids wouldn't hurry up, or bring in wood or something, well, now don't stand there like a Stoughton bottle. And I, too, always thought it was Stoughton, S-T-O-T-E-N, but it is S-T-O-U-L-G-H-T-E-N, I think is what I said. Stoughton. Thank you so much, Mr. Siegsmund, for bringing this rare piece of information. I can see how that saying came about. And thank you for your letter and your wife. And Mr. Siegsman, you are mistaken about my being born in Rockville, Missouri. Someone said you folks were out at Heritage and you said May McCord was born. It's my prima donna sister. I had a prima donna half-sister who lived to be 88 and died about 3 years ago, who spent her whole life in Europe. My mother's first child, and she was one of the great singers of the world. I wasn't with her much, I'm sorry to say. Just remember her a good deal when I was 10 and 11. Wonderful woman. She was the head singer of Opera Comique Paris for 16 years. My, the old, old things. Oh, by the way, Mr. Siegsmund, I was born in Carthage and came to Galena to live when I was 5 years old and lived there all my life till we moved away from there. Carl B. Icke at Deepwater sends me a recipe for the real hoe cake. The recipe is over 100 years old. He says Mrs. Bell Harriman Crowder gave it to him and used to remember her grandmother making hoe cake. If any of you want the recipe, I can copy and send you if you send me a stamped addressed envelope. Or what is better, write to Carl Icke at Deepwater, Missouri and make Carl do a little of the work. He's got a good typewriter and he's a writer and he's a free soul and lives on his means. He's a great chap, too. Just put Carl to work. Yes, or write to me, I'll send it to you. The old, old things. Mrs. Nellie Pettit of Marshfield wrote a while back to tell me of the old vessels, cooking vessels, the different things she has of her mother's. And she has that pressing iron, the tailor's goose we talked so much about a while back. She says it's 10 inches long, 2.5 inches wide, and weighs 15 pounds. It was a tailor's pressing iron, you know. A tailor's goose, they called it. I don't know why the goose. Why wasn't it a gander? She said drummers used to carry them with them to press their pants on the road. There was no such things as dry cleaners or pressers through the country, except in the very large cities. I know when I was a young girl, never heard of a dry cleaner. Mrs. Ellen McElwain of this city tells me she has an old fox and geese board, very, very old, and she plays the old game of fox and geese. Yes, we still have the old things down here in the Ozarks, don't we? All people are not interested in stuffed shirts and cocktail parties and hot rod racers and caviar and vodka at 3 o'clock in the morning. Thanks be for that. Well, this week came the anniversary of D-Day, that awful day of invasion when they stormed the Normandy shores and soldiers. Our soldiers, many of them, were trampled into the mud and died there from suffocation. Oh, they say so many of them did. In the wild, mad, fearful storming of the beachhead when things rode right over you. Great guns and cannon and people and everything. They had to storm it when the moment dawned and the command went out. They say that was the most closely guarded secret in all military history. I was on KWK St. Louis, and I remember my landlady came waking me at 4 a.m, knocking on my door and scared me near to death. She said, my manager said to waken Ms. McCord because D-Day is on right now, he said. They'd got the news, you know. He knew I'd want to write my broadcast about it for 9 o'clock that morning. And I remember I got up and with an excited, pounding heart, I pounded the typewriter just as fast. And I wrote a new one. I had written one the night before, beginning it with Julia Ward Howe's immortal poem, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord. They have trampled out the vineyard where the grapes of wrath are stored. They have loosed the fateful lightning of this terror of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I thought of two boys I knew so well who were in the D-Day invasion and knew they would be. They were told, and their mothers knew it. The boys were 19 years old. Neither of them came back. They were Marines. I told the story. And then I thought of the lines by the great soldier poet in the war, John McGrorty, who was killed. Lines he wrote just 2 weeks before his death about his dead comrade. He said, good night, dear comrade. Sleep you well. Deeper the daisies where you fell. I grasp you, comrade, ere you fall with broken staff against the wall. I fold your empty hands as shared ever and all with them that fared beside you in the rain and sun. Good night, your little day is done. Farewell, dear comrade mine, no more. A bird is singing at your door, and all the highways are a-throng with beating drums and martial song and peace. They come to call you from your bed. Farewell, your little hour is sped. My time is up. I want to send my love to my good friend of years, Ray Tyler, the husband of our writer, Ruth Tyler, Mrs. Tyler. Mr. Tyler is in the sanitarium at Mount Vernon, and she's up there with him. He's doing splendidly. He likes it very much, Ruth says. He has no real tuberculosis. And it's wonderful news. Hello, Ray Tyler, and God keep you under his wing. I'll be seeing you all next Saturday, the Lord willing, the creek don't rise and the cyclone doesn't hit me.